Join the Pop Life Podcast conversation. Follow us on Twitter at The Pop Life Podcast. Find us on iTunes at The Pop Life Podcast. Be sure to rate us, please, and find us on SoundCloud and share and like and subscribe. Thanks.
Welcome to the Pop Life Podcast, coming to you from the Crosby Collective Studio, starring your hosts, Jeffrey Sledge, Naima Cochran, and Sean Young. If it's top of mind in pop culture, it's up for discussion. Thank you for joining us this week. The Pop Life begins in 3, 2, 1.
All right, so Pop Life Podcast, today is December 1st.
Yeah, ma'am.
So that means Nye thinks it's Labor Day of 2023.
The year is over, though.
Next spring, we already halfway through next spring.
We are.
Basically.
All right.
Going for Trav to get back. He ready to come home, too.
I'm sure he is.
The other day. He trying to get me to show him a titty in the grocery store.
put your titty out by the produce.
This real quick.
This is a flash of titty real quick.
Nobody else will even see it.
By the frozen foods. So that makes
not the milk. Just go by the dairy case.
Yeah, put over by the frozen foods. That makes sure your nipples be hard. Sean will be joining us eventually. He in the middle of something. We tried to tape last week, but it's really hard to get four people in four parts of the country to get together and tape, especially right before Thanksgiving.
Thanksgiving week, ooh, Lord.
Yeah, it was impossible. Niggas was in the store and buying aluminum foil.
It was a rough week. Everybody I know was sick. Everybody.
Yeah. So, but we're here now.
Last week was a marathon.
How was your Thanksgiving, by the way?
Ours was good. We hosted, which was why last week was so crazy for me, because I'm still unpacking and figuring out where things go in this damn house. But mom had volunteered me to host because we'd have the space.
Okay.
So it was good because it was Cheyenne's birthday on Thanksgiving Day.
Okay.
So she was here.
Happy birthday, Cheyenne, with your big, fine yellow ass. Jesus Christ.
I swear, she becomes more of a problem as she gets older.
Lord.
Cheyenne be out here. So Shia was here. One of her best friends was here. My uncle came down from New York. Mom and Mr. Eric were here.
Oh, so you had a nice, you had a nice crew.
Yeah, one of my best friends from high school lives here, so he and his daughter were here, and he and Cheyenne are close, too. So We had, like, about 10, 11 people, but it was a family environment. Mm-hmm. And, we're a very casual family on Thanksgiving. We eat at dinner time.
Okay.
And this time, we had to roll the food out in waves, because we had a little hiccup with the turkey, with the fried turkey, and the air fryer, the frying accoutrement.
Okay.
But Jason had got a new grill. He made some ribs. He fried the turkey. We had a ham. Cheyenne asked me to do salmon. You know, we had all the sides. Mom baked some special cookies.
Okay.
And then the next day we all went to see Wakanda Forever. So black ass Thanksgiving weekend.
Okay. We'll get to that in a second. I actually haven't seen it, but I'll let y'all review it. I was here in Atlanta, my cousin's crib. We had about 20 people come over. And that was nice. My cousin, I call him my cousin, but he's actually my cousin's husband, but whatever. It's family. Jason, he made me some some chicken thighs and some greens with just a smoked turkey because, you know, I'm on a low to no sodium diet.
Right.
So my shit was to the side. But it was great.
That's nice.
Food was great. Actually, the next day, I tasted some of the turkey. He brined it for like 24 hours before he baked it.
Oof.
And having no low to no salt for all this time.
Yeah, it hits you, right?
Yeah, you can really, really taste it. It tasted great. It's not that it was bad, but you just realize how your body adjusts to not having things. You know what I'm saying? So like the lack of salt, it really hit me. But yeah, it was good. Just chilled out, watched football and talk some shit. And, you know, it was a good day.
Oh, we also watched the Deion Cole special. Have y'all seen it yet?
I haven't watched. Sean watched it. He said it was really good.
It's really funny. Good. I like Deion Cole a lot. And the thing about the jokes is that most of them are about getting old, which is why it's so fucking funny, because he'd be spot on. Yeah. And I'm actually mad at how funny it is to me because it's so true. I'll be like, damn, B.
Yeah. And he told me he got a little misty at the end when he was talking about his mom. And stuff.
Yeah, he was talking about losing his mom.
So I'm going to watch it one day. I'm going to get to it. How about yours, Inka? What you did?
It was cool. I had kind of a multicultural Thanksgiving. So my Jamaican and Guyanese family that's here, like my set of couple friends, they had never had American Thanksgiving.
Okay.
So I brought over a bunch of American shit. They had like, you know, jerk this and curry that and recipes and all that.
That's good. That's so good.
We ate good. Then we played Uno and it got really intense.
Of course it does. Because that's what happens when niggas play Uno or spades. Somebody go fight. You know what I'm saying? Or any board game or whatever. It don't matter.
Yeah. Ivy had fun though. She hadn't been out the house for a while because she was sick all week. But their kids have been sick all week too. So like everybody had the same thing. Y'all just go play together. So they were all up super late and just had a good time. It was cool.
That's good. I saw you. I know you went to Club Quarantine in D.C. a couple weeks ago.
I did.
I saw some clips. It looked like it was popping.
Now,
didn't you get dressed up? Because, D.C. niggas.
The Kennedy Center.
DC it was niggas, great. But it
DC
called,
niggas love to put on a black, put on a tuxedo.
It asked for, the dress code was quote unquote creative black tie.
Yeah.
So, and I did the creative. Like, I had on, some leather joggers and like some black leather joggers and a black satin shirt. But you know, I had on heels and I had on like a sequin jacket. So
creative black tie. Yeah.
Yeah. But some folks were in like for real black tie.
I heard gowns and shit. Yeah.
Yeah. But I mean, it was appropriate because it's the Kennedy Center. Right. But so Derek did Carnegie Hall over the summer.
Yeah.
And the same orchestra that was with him at Carnegie Hall was with him at Kennedy Center.
I didn't know it was the same orchestra. Okay.
The orchestra was rocking because you could tell they were having fun. And what would happen was the artist might perform the track with the orchestra backing them up. And then the track would drop out and the orchestra would take over. So like Faith Evans did You Get No Love and the orchestra just picked up the refrain and she was just riffing. Like, killing it, like with the strings being like bom 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 bom, you know, like whatever. It was Eric B. and Rakim, Too Short. Not Eric B. and Rakim, EPMD, Too Short. What you call it? My boy from EU came out.
Sugar Bear
came out to do the butt. Eric Benet, Faith. I'm forgetting people, and we missed a couple of the early people, and he had like Israel Houghton, because Derek always has like a praise
a gospel thing, yeah,
a little gospel segment, and Kenny Burns hosted. It was
of course
a blast.
Happy for Derek that this is
so happy for him.
He's still going. Both his daughters were there. Tailed off.
His oldest daughter, I saw her in the front, like rocking. And that had to be a proud feeling, you know, when like
see your dad and
loves
shit.
What you're doing. Yeah.
Yeah.
I saw a lot of my New York people there, which was also the first time I'd really been out since I moved. So it was cool to see like some of my New York people there. And you know, also like I'd had this really this is such an industry problem, but I was like, am I going to be able to move the same in DC as I'm moving to New York? Like, I don't know people like that, even though I do. But like, to have my first like time out being like, oh, I'm on Derek's list. You know what I'm saying? Like, I'm moving, like that made me feel a little more comfortable
in a new place. I saw him on the AMAs too. He did the cypher.
Okay.
He DJ'd for this. Oh, Soul Train Awards.
Soul Train.
Yeah, that cipher was really good. It was new artists pretty much. Except for Tasha Cobbs, it was what's the guy's name? The guy D
Duran Bernard.
Duran Bernard.
I love Duran.
Yeah, him.
He killed it. It was great. Tosh,
his voice is incredible.
He murked him, Tasha Cobbs. I can't remember the other people, but damn, I can't remember. Sorry to those people. But it was four of them, and they all.
Sorry to that man.
Yeah, sorry to that man. Yeah, but they all did great. And then at the end, they damn, what is the song they did where they were harmonizing together? They kind of came in and did so.
I'm gonna have to go watch.
It was so dope. It was really, really good. All four of them like really killed. They were fairly new and upcoming artists, so they really took this opportunity. You could see, like, it was like, okay, this is a shot for us.
I missed it, which I hate because I
saw
one of the BET VPs at Club Quarantine, and I was like, you know, I'm gonna be tweeting for y'all next weekend. But for some reason, I thought it was on Sunday.
It usually is on Sunday.
Yeah,
it usually is on Sunday.
And we don't have cable. We're cordless. So or whatever.
You got YouTube TV?
We do have YouTube TV, but I mean, we have. But it's like I'm so used to being able to DVR some shit and go back and watch it later. I was like, oh, damn, I'm going to have to go back and find it. You know what I mean?
It's on
BET.com. At least all the performance and cypher clips are.
The show, I mean, I let Brett talk about the show because he actually went to
yeah.
Yeah.
Looking good in the audience.
Yes, I've seen him. I was like, I'm Brett.
Yeah.
Sean hate being seen by the people.
Yo, I was so irritated because we got there. And I knew that we had seats, and I was like, okay, you know, I'll go. And I don't really like to go to those award shows. It's not really my bag. But I was like, all right, we'll go. I'll go. You know, we got all dressed up, and we initially sat off to the side. So okay. I was like, oh, this is perfect. Like I'm off in the cut.
Yeah.
And they were like, nah. Those aren't your seats. You guys got to come here. Like center, you guys are on camera seats. I was like, nigga, what? Like, I was like, oh man.
Yeah, but, that happened last year. It's been hard for them to get talent to stay in the on camera seats for the whole show.
And they wouldn't let Mona be in the building and not be on camera. That was talent.
So that's the thing about when you have talent, and I'm going to use that very loosely. They had a lot of young talent. And they had obviously the performance people who was talent, and they kind of moved those folks around. Right. There were a lot of seat fillers.
Yeah.
Like it is even by any award standard, seat fillers almost never make it to the front row. Like there's never like just that many open seats for you to literally be sitting in the front row. And they were sitting in the front row. I mean, maybe you get a commercial break, you know what I'm saying, or something like that. But nah, these folks were sitting out there for a minute. Like, peace to bruh that was sitting next to me, that just kept asking me, was I bodyguard? And, I was just like, nah.
Who you working with, brother?
Yeah. Right. basically. And my most enjoyable moment of the night, I'm pretty sure it didn't make it to camera, was JB Smooth. Because right before he goes to do the introduction for the time, you know, there's that really awkward space of getting him, you know, in his spot and you know, getting cameras ready. And this nigga starts singing Bobby Brown's Girlfriend. Like,
wow. And the audience starts singing along.
Nigga. He was singing. Like, he was in full singing mode. He sung the whole first verse, nigga. Like, bar for bar, line for line, nigga. Like, went to the hook, told his wife to stand up. So that was cute and it was fun. You know what I'm saying? It was light. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
And, you know, the show was the show. Listen, you know, God bless. You know, production did as good a job as they could. There are a lot of moving pieces for that. You know, it is not a live performance show, so there is a lot of air quotes playing TV.
Yeah.
And but you know, all in all, a good night. I am glad that they acknowledge the young R&B singers that are there and the entertainers that are there.
Yeah.
Because I think that gets lost. I think that we're so hell bent on trying to get the Mariahs of the world, and I'm only using her as
an example of
A-list talent, not necessarily her specifically, but like I love the fact that they were really given these younger artists a shot, and it felt more like it was their award show, to be quite honest. It felt like this was their thing, not this wasn't really this other thing. So, you know, peace to them, peace to everybody that came out. You know what I'm saying? It was a lot of glitter. Dion was right. There was a lot of sparkling shit going on. There was a lot of bedazzled jackets.
A lot of Swarovski.
Like, as is appropriate, though. You know what I'm saying? Like, if you want to do Soul Train.
And I got to just say, man, they, in my opinion, I think it's time for them to consider relocating. You know, listen. You know, no disrespect to the Orleans, but it's not necessarily.
I'm so tired of everything being in Vegas. I'm so tired.
Yeah, it's not a. There are two things I just want to say really quick. One, Vegas isn't cheap.
Right.
Like, that's no. Not,
like,
at all.
Like, Vegas isn't cheap if you're picking up the tab, and even if you have a T&E account, like, nigga, Vegas might eat up your month.
Yeah.
Right. Like. So, like, it's
and you can't build no other shit into it. Like, if you go to LA or any other,
there's no meetings. There's no moving around. There's no going up to the West Coast office to go check on things or sit with your counterpart. There's none of that. So that
travel
and entertainment.
Basically, your corporate account.
Your corporate expense
like
account.
Per diem.
Your expense account. Yeah.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So, like, that's usually capped.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? And
allegedly that's what happened to old girl to Tiffany Cross.
Yeah. There's a reasonable. You know what I'm saying? There's a reasonable thing.
And also, there's no talent that's based in Las Vegas. Like,
that's the problem.
Local talent saves a lot of costs.
Also,
all you gotta do is take care of cars. You gotta take
care of a day room. Yeah,
you gotta take care of a day room. Uh-huh. Like, that's it. But when you gotta travel everybody in, I have to imagine, including production and all
that.
Yeah,
the glam squad.
For you guys that don't really know, let's just say you have a female artist, like a female
like
artist,
Glorilla and Cardi. That performance, talk like about
that. That kind of cost, I can't even imagine. Even I would have to rewrap my head around what it would cost with Cardi, because that's a private flight. She's not getting on a commercial flight.
Nope.
You got to fly all her people.
You got to fly all Dally, of them in. You're paying.
She's
you're
staying
paying,
in the penthouse suite wherever she
you're
stays.
You're paying per day rate.
Yes.
Yep.
And then you pay travel rates. So you're paying someone hair and makeup. They're going to get paid their.
Oh, he froze.
But he was saying they're going to get paid what they would get paid.
Full day, maybe they work.
There you go. There you go.
Yeah. And then for a day that they're not working, they're going to get a travel day pay.
Exactly.
Which is usually around 50%. Sometimes it's a little bit more than that. It depends. So I'm just throwing out numbers so you guys understand that when people don't show up, that it is not just about, oh, we don't give a shit about going to Soul Train. It becomes cost prohibitive when a free promotional excursion turns into a $30,000 expense.
Or right, more. Or more. Cardi's probably more than 30.
Oh, right, because Cardi's Cardi's in six figures, easy.
Right, because the other thing is, depending on, just so people know, depending on the award show, they don't pay all these costs. No, like, the label usually has to pick up these costs, right? Mm-hmm. So what the award show may provide is travel and hotel and what we call backline, which is all the sound tech. And like with the case of Soul Train, they have a backing band and backing vocals that accompany pretty much every performer. But in terms of the actual production, rehearsals, styling, glam, all that shit, that comes
out of their budget.
That comes out of their label budget. And the question that you have to ask when you get an offer is the exposure that this is going to net me make more in revenue than what it's going to cost us to do this show.
In old nigga terms, is the juice worth the squeeze?
Exactly. which is why these shows end up being, you know, most of the time in Los Angeles, sometimes in New York, but most of the time in Los Angeles, because so many artists live there and glam people and their you know, their crew, the stylists and so on, they all live there. So right. To get them to go to the Grammys, for example, it's not that it's cheap, but at least people are already in the city.
Right.
They can just kind of, you know, you say get a day room and so on and go. You ain't got to be flying nobody in on a private jet and so on. Real quick, I just wanted to mention the AMAs because Inka mentioned it. My girl Glorilla murked it. Man, she killed it. Her and Cardi, they did.
So happy for her.
Glorilla, I was like, yo, wait, Glorilla is killing it. She, even before Cardi came out. She killed it.
And
is Glorilla the one that has that I Get It song? Because I've been trying to figure out
who FNF. Fuck, oh, okay. Nigga Free.
Right.
Yeah, okay. That's Glorilla. Okay. Yeah.
Who is the I Get It person? Is that Cardi? Because it sounds like Cardi.
I get it. No, is that.
Nigga, I get it. It starts with, like, you ain't nothing but. Okay, I'll figure it out. I don't know.
Doja Cat.
Oh, that's Doja.
Doja?
That's Doja from the Elvis soundtrack, Hound Dog.
Yeah, this old nigga moment. Afro Sheen.
I be TCB. Knowing, I know, and TCB and Pink and Luster's Pink Oil. Listen, I be knowing the names. I don't be knowing their songs.
Yeah, I don't know. I heard that. Well, one girl, what's her name?
But that Hound Dog song, it sounds like Cardi, but not all the way like Cardi. That's why I was like, who is that? Okay.
Yeah. But just wanted to mention Glow killed it. Missy did well too. She had a guest appearance. Lizzo killed as always.
Lizzo is killing it right now.
Lizzo is murdered. She got I haven't watched it yet. She has a documentary on
HBO Max.
Oh, HBO Max, yeah.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. HBO Max.
Yeah. See, that was one of the award shows that I left. I dropped Mona off. I turned around. I came back, watched a football game. I made some pepper steak.
Nigga made some pepper steak. If that ain't some old nigga shit. Pepper steak. You got pepper steak next to his name.
I want to interject one thing about the AMAs. So it came out. First of all, I want to say shout out to the Stephen Hill and Jesse Cotlins, who Dick Clark Productions brought them in to help with the AMAs.
They did a good job.
They're trying to get some flavor because nobody
spice it up. Yeah,
nobody really cares about the AMAs. It's always the lowest rated award show. But apparently. Chris Brown posted before he was supposed to be part of a Michael Jackson tribute, and the tribute got canceled without any real explanation. So once Chris posted about it, like the whole internet was like, not the whole internet, but a large part of the internet was up in arms on some, you know, justice for Chris Brown is not fair and his talent and this and that thing. And I just gotta say, y'all.
Well, reason it was up in arms because Chris actually posted the rehearsals.
Right. Chris posted the rehearsals.
And they were dope. I mean, not surprising. Yeah. They were dope. They looked amazing.
But the thing I think people are missing is, like, everybody made it a Chris Brown thing. So this was an unannounced segment. Nobody knew it was supposed to happen. It wasn't just Chris. It was Chris and Ciara and somebody else. So it was a Michael Jackson tribute because Thriller just turned 40.
You're 40 years old.
Yesterday, actually, I think. And, like, it was supposed to be a Thriller tribute. The tribute itself was canceled. Chris wasn't replaced. He wasn't supposed to perform his own music, and they pulled the performance.
They felt like they stretched Lionel's segment longer to make up for that time.
The tribute was canceled. And my thing is, in this era, when we're talking about Michael Jackson, also when we're talking about ABC and Michael Jackson, Disney and Michael Jackson, you can't automatically assume it was about Chris.
I read it was about they didn't want an abuser and a child molester strip
mixed together.
That's what I read.
The combination of the two, you know, entities and their respective like murkiness in public perception. Mm-hmm. Would have been really messy. And ABC is Disney. Like, they don't do mess if they can help it, even though GMA right now would say otherwise, but also the Jackson estate does not fuck with ABC. Like, they've had litigation with them, not in the not so recent past. There is one particular journal who's taking credit for getting the whole thing canceled, but I feel like he's bragging a little too much for me to believe it. Because it's not like Dick Clark Productions can come out and be like, yeah, that's what happened. No, that's not, they're just not going to comment on it. But I just wanted to say for people, like, I get it. You want to support an artist who you think is talented and who has paid for, you know, his transgressions, which I disagree with, because I think given the frequency with which Chris Brown is in some shit, he's enjoyed remarkable success and visibility. It was not one thing with Rihanna over a decade ago. It's been consistent shit, including some beef, including like a restraining order that I think just expired from Cariucci.
No, the judge granted her a lifetime restraining order against.
Wow. So see, yeah. That's what I'm saying. Like, she had a Cariucci. I can't. Well, I don't know why I'm messing that girl.
Yeah, I'm about to say you called it Cariucci.
I know Cariucci. She had a 5-year restraining order, and now it's been extended to lifetime. Like, come on. So anyway, all that to say, he done had number one after number one, hit after hit, show after show, thing after thing. Chris ain't in exile. So, but also when it's Chris and Michael Jackson, I just didn't understand why the assumption was that this was about Chris. That's all I'm saying.
Yeah. So, yeah, but again, for what it's worth, again, you can go on YouTube and watch the rehearsal, because it was pretty, you know, it was one of the last rehearsals. So it's, you're pretty much watching the show without the costuming. And it was, you know, it's great looking. You know, I would have loved to seen the full production, but, you know, I get it. But it was a great looking thing. Lastly, they did the tribute to Lionel Richie. Well deserved. I mean, he's a G, he's a legend. And I enjoyed that with Stevie Wonder and Charlie Puth. And just a little sidebar.
Did they do any of the Commodore stuff, or they just did Lionel Pop stuff?
They did Easy, I think. So, like, or they didn't, did they do Brick House? No, Stevie played Brick House too, I believe. I believe Stevie played Brick House. But side note for those who don't know, Lionel in the 80s, when things were, I guess, a little rocky in Hollywood, Lionel got into buying real estate, and he bought 7 of the 11 blocks on Rodeo Drive. So he owns 7 of those 11 blocks.
I had no idea about that.
He owns 7 of those 11 blocks since the 80s. So he could clearly start making music today.
Lionel has all the money.
He's got wild.
But Lionel also caked out in the 80s massively. And Lionel wrote all them fucking hits.
He co-wrote, what's it called, too? We Are the World.
Yeah.
With Michael and, you know, just tons of other things.
He was one of the first that really, I think, like, understood the mechanics of the financial mechanics of songwriting.
Yes.
Right. So aside from having the obvious talent of being able to do it, he also understood, oh, nah, you're not taking that 25% of my contribution here, or my 30% of this contribution there.
I want all the publishing because I wrote the shit, period, end.
Give me all that.
Yeah, so God bless him. And again, well-deserved tribute because, you know, he's a G. It was him. Smokey came out and talked about him. And, you know, Stevie, of course, and those guys go back to damn 60s. Well, Lionel was 70s.
Well, Motown, 60s. Yeah.
Yeah, which is, you know, again.
Also, I just want to say the Grammys did the Lionel tribute, like, in 16. So,
yeah,
it's a little bit late, but still better late than
that. Every time I see that stuff, I'm like, yeah, Berry Gordy is the best record man ever. Because he signed all of them.
Like, Berry Gordy is the best record man ever, aside from Ahmet Ergotron, maybe, but still.
Yeah, Ahmet's amazing, too. I mean, there's a lot of, you know, Ahmet's dumb. Ahmet's dumb, actually. Ahmet's dumb, but Berry, shush. Anyway, that roster.
Inca, you were trying to say something, sorry.
You just reminded me when you mentioned Stephen Hill that Shantae Moore is not aging at all. And
it's also now crystal. Shantae Moore Hill.
You know, she's 55. She looks like she's like 40. She's incredible.
That whistle register is not.
Yeah, she killed it. She did her thing. She did her thing.
I mean, she's also a real testament of, like, really caring for your instrument.
True.
Like,
you don't see her out. There's not a, there's no smoking. There's no drink. You know, there's a real care. There's a pointed care, I think, to her instrument. And what that means, I mean, she knows it. Listen, she's obviously an attractive woman. Doors would open regardless, but that voice, that is the thing that is like going to put food on the table from now until ever.
Yeah, I've always felt like Shantae and Tamia, just as an aside, the era in which they came out, like R&B was in the middle of a transition, and I always felt like both of them really got shafted in that, because even though Tamia came out a little later than Shantae, it was the same thing. Like, Shantae came out with a jazzy sound, which at the time was getting played on Urban Maine, because I had Shantae's first album and it came out my senior year of high school. And I don't think a high school student would have an album that sound like Shantae, that sounds like Shantae Moore's first album today.
No, definitely not.
And it's one of my favorite albums. You know what I mean? And it's like,
the radio's not playing adult contemporary.
Exactly.
Anymore.
Except on because the format split right around the time. And she was young and she had a look and she had a voice, but she just got caught. And then by the time she tried to transition over with like R. Kelly tracks and shit like that, it just, it's like she missed it, you know?
Yeah, it was a little too late.
Same with Tamia, like, You Put a Move in My Heart is a beautiful song, but it's a very mature song. And then, you know, I feel like even though she had some hits that felt younger, she never really kind of...
But she did have to take a sizable break when she got sick. I feel like that's a little different.
Just want to give a couple of RIPs. One... Christine McVie, who was a member of Fleetwood Mac, she passed away yesterday at 79. You know, so it's kind of like, damn, they're like 80 years old now. So, you know, they didn't say what the cause of death was, but again, she was 79. So, peace to her.
Timeless shit, though.
Oh, crazy. Don Newkirk, who wasn't really that well known, he worked with Third Base a little bit, worked at De La a little bit. But he passed away at 56 years old last
week. I know Don Newkirk mostly from
Third Base video, from the video. And lastly, music manager Hovain, who passed last week. He was only 34 years old. Which is,
I had no idea he was that young.
34 years old. I don't know what his cause of death was either. He was a very heavy set man. It might have been due to that, but I don't want to speculate. But really well liked person, well known within NDC circles. And just want to say, you know, peace to them and their family. I want to run this one thing. So I saw on the gram in the last couple of days, I give these reels, or I hate these fucking reels where everybody does the lip sync and shit. I hate that shit. So now everybody's got
reels in general.
Well, that too. The reels have turned into Facebook. Like, you know, they ain't cool.
They're trying to be TikTok and it's not.
But they're not. It ain't curling all the way over. But they got this one girl says, you need to get one of these. And the guy says, what's that? It's a chicken salad. From 81st and something. Yeah, First Deli, it got in it, you know. And everybody does this lip sync, and it's like, you know, some girl walking with tight pants on. You need to get one of these. The chicks out there. This doesn't make any sense. But anyway.
Because it's from TikTok, it shouldn't be on Reels anyway.
Yeah, but
it's fucking it up.
And it just doesn't make sense to be like,
look good. Well, that's the thing, Jeff. They take it out. They take them out of context.
Yeah.
And other ways that apply them to see how creatively you can do that. And sometimes it works and sometimes it doesn't.
It don't be working on a reel.
It doesn't work on Instagram.
So they interviewed the girl who did it. And she said that she had gotten a call for some type of correspondence from Google. And Google offered her $500, I guess.
Oh, is that what that was about?
Yes. Oh. Yeah. Google offered her $500, I guess, to buy the sign.
To license it? Yeah.
License it or whatever. And she said no because she wanted a whole lot more. But my thing was, what did you want? You just said a fucking chicken salad.
Where you sign over your content for like one specific sound, they also own the video, and a lot of them will tuck into that contract that whatever you make on that platform from now to forever, they own it.
Because the thing is, like, if Google wanted to license that sound, they were probably going to use it in promo or ads.
Of course.
So I think it's fair. I mean, I don't think she should have been asking for like maybe $50,000, but I think it's fair to ask for significantly more if you have a viral sound. Like, she could probably look at the reach and measurement to kind of get an estimation. And that's, I think, the next space that we are going to be moving into. We definitely are. Because, you know, going back to the girl who started on Fleek, you know,
it's, yeah, it's she got hard. Now people she got jerked.
Yeah, like people can't. Normal people are providing like these templates for all this content that folks are creating, even famous folks, right? Mm-hmm. And it's going viral, and it's like, how do you monetize it when you're the creator? And a lot of times, the creators don't get credited at all. So,
can I say some foul shit?
Of course, go ahead.
And of course, this is just me. This is nobody it's else on the podcast. It's always just me. Let me try to word this.
This is gonna be bad.
Let me say real quick.
Okay, if she was more marketable, that's what the word. If she was more marketable,
sis has been contracted by Weight Watchers to create a chicken salad.
Okay, for that's dope. That, well, now with Weight Watchers, she is. I get it. See, my thing was when I just said this is me. Now I'm just, you know what I'm saying?
Justin, we might need you to help Uncle Jeff out. We might need you to come on in here and help Uncle Jeff, man.
Oh my God.
When I look at the little kid.
Monetizing the shit in a way that makes sense. Okay. So people are hitting her up. She's being discerning about where she wants to put her voice because. Original video, the voice, like, she's dead ass about this chicken salad.
Yeah.
Very organic, and she has a great voice. And like,
it's and the other thing though is Jeff, it's the principality of the thing. Like, Google offering anybody $500 for anything
with
is
the
bad.
Money they got. Yeah,
yeah,
it's an insult. Absolutely, a lot of influencers are being way more transparent about what they're being offered, what they're being paid versus their counterparts. Who are Black, who are whatever.
Which
like,
is what
a big
needs
movement
to happen.
About that now.
I want to just say this too. I agree that that is a paltry offer. But let me explain to you that people will only offer you what they think you're willing to take.
Right.
And you don't have to take anything.
Right.
If I see a car for sale, right? And I walk up to you with fucking $2,500 in cash and you trying to sell your car for $7,000, you might see that as an insult. But some people might see it as, yo, let me just do a heat check right quick and see what the situation is. The reality is that if they can get her to sign that document for $500, it's a win for whomever brings that home for the company. They were probably given a wide ranging budget.
And they wanted
the
problem.
They lowballed because that's what everyone does. And they lowballed. And listen, it's also fair to say they lowballed her because she's Black and they're assuming she's poor and that $500 would be a substantial amount of money.
And assuming she don't know no better also.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Mm-hmm. But the one thing I will say to Inka's point is that even when she was on whoever's live that she was talking to, at first she was like, I'm not going to name the company. Need to name them. He was like, name them. People are starting to share this info and even share it like with each other across different, you know, sectors of influence so that they don't get gypped like this, you know?
Okay. Yeah. And piece of the corn boy who seems to be doing well.
That's
his
my
partnership with Green Giants.
That's my little man right there.
They had him at the Cornhuskers game for Nebraska.
Oh wow.
He was like, yo, my man is yo, I love the fact that he's finally getting a proper lineup too. So peace to him. And making sure that he that they
an
are
adult
taking
teeth
him,
grew in since yes, he they, did the video.
They are clearly Look taking him to a Black barbershop.
Yeah.
That is not a white barbershop lineup. So peace to them for making sure my man is straight and he's cool. And I love the fact that he's so genuine. He's
that's really him.
Sweet kid.
Yeah.
And he really loves Khan.
Yeah, you know, it was Khan. Yeah. Like, yeah, that's really him.
I understand. I get it. I totally get it. I have eaten a whole bowl of corn as a meal before. Like, just, I love that kid.
I love that kid. I could sit back for a minute because I think all three of y'all have seen the Black Panther. I haven't. But you know, I mean, y'all can go and talk about it.
Before they go into it,
I'm not gonna do no spoilers.
I'm just gonna preface. I definitely fell asleep at some part. So don't take none of my word.
It does lag a bit in the middle.
Yeah. Wherever that lag was, your boy knocked out.
Waking up like,
I almost did too, because I was high.
Who's that man in the middle? I don't know who that is. Well, here's what happened to Charlie.
You stupid. In my opinion, like, it's not as gripping. It's not as gripping in the same way as the first Black Panther movie, right?
Okay.
But what I will say is that, like, shout out to Ryan Coogler because he wrote the fuck out of the script. Because even the parts that I was unhappy with, he addressed before the movie was over. Like, there were a couple of different things I was like, boo, tomato, I don't want this. And he addressed it, like, he fixed it or, you know, added something that brought it full circle. Because the primary point of conflict in this movie is between them and an indigenous American civilization.
I heard name on them was whooping their ass too.
Yeah, man. And this is a spoiler alert, but it's not gonna spoil the movie. They have vibranium. Vibranium exists somewhere else in the world. And Wakanda didn't know that. These motherfuckers have vibranium. So it's like people with vibranium fighting people with vibranium. It's like
they also have water.
Yeah, like, and they also live underwater. It's like the lost city of Atlantis type shit, right? Yeah. So but I was conflicted about it for various colonized people reasons. But like I said, Ryan addressed everything I had issue with. And honestly, the way he wove T'Challa / Chad dying into the movie, it did not feel like they had to scramble for the plot. Yeah. It actually worked. And it also worked because if you remember right, Killmonger burned all the purple,
the purple shaped herbs,
flowers and stuff,
heart shaped herbs, in the first one. And there is the after credit scene is fucking incredible. Like, I mean, Ryan just wrote such a thorough fucking story. It's such a thorough story. And the franchise can move on from here. You know what I mean? Like, but it was such a tribute. And it was so thorough. And I will say, though, like, Marvel scrapped its original opening credits to make the entire opening credits as complete silence with just clips of Chad.
Yeah, I had the tear just.
I'm like, I just got misty just talking about it now. Bawling.
Still over.
Yeah, well, I heard it was very emotional.
Yeah.
Is that it is an excellent sequel to Black Panther, but as a standalone Marvel movie, it's not that great.
True. You can't watch it by itself. It literally does not tie. That's the one thing about it. It doesn't tie anything else.
So it's really just a part two.
I mean, it introduced us to Namor, but and his people. But there's no other Avenger. There's no, like I said, even the after credit is Black Panther centric. Like, there's no tie in to what comes next in the MCU as a whole.
In the MCU timeline, though, all of the Avengers who would have been there are dead.
Right.
And Spider-Man is still alive. What about Bucky? No one knows.
Is this the Spider-Man? Is this during the snap?
No. This is after the snap, but
just in chronological
not all of the
order
Avengers fuck with. Not all of the Avengers have been to Wakanda. But what about Bucky?
And some of isn't Bucky banned. Somewhere? He's banned from Wakanda. So you have to watch some of the like Marvel Disney Plus series to get all the nuggets and to know why everybody's not there.
Because I still have to watch the Hawk, not the Hawkeye shit, the
She-Hulk? Captain America one?
Yeah, that one.
That has some, like, you'll get some reasons.
I still gotta watch it. Okay.
As to why, like, Bucky wouldn't be there. He's not allowed back in Wakanda.
Okay.
Or, okay. Like, in the MCU, no one knows that Spider-Man is Spider-Man.
Right.
Because of the end of the last Spider-Man
movie. Because of that. Oh, I forgot. Right.
So he wouldn't be there either. But, like, Nick Fury's dead. Natasha is dead. Right. Captain America is Anthony Mackie now, but why would he be there? Like, it's a lot of, the real Captain America is like 89 years old. So, like,
Yeah.
Okay. Well, I'm going to get to it, but I definitely wanted to do a little review. Real quick, I just want to give a shout out to Queen Sugar. They ended this, they had the finale episode Tuesday past.
Y'all, I'm like 3 seasons behind. I still got to watch it.
I mean, obviously, no, I'm not going to spoil it, but it was excellent. Like, it was so good. Like, it just wrapped everything up nicely, but everything really made sense, you know? It was really good. I really, really, you know, I really enjoyed that series.
All right, that's my next binge. I got to catch up on Queen Sugar.
Yeah, so I wanted to say something about that. And, sidebar, I can't wait till February when Cocaine Bear come out, because I'm definitely going to see that opening weekend.
Yo, what is this movie?
Did you see the trailer?
Jason just mentioned this movie. He was like, we're going to see this. I was like, what?
Right. So, it's loosely based on a true story. So what happened was some guys were smuggling cocaine, and they threw some cocaine out of the plane because the DA was on. Mm. And so they found evidence that only was a grizzly or a black bear, but a bear had eaten basically like a kilo of cocaine. It died because it was too much for it. But scientists say, like, for the few minutes that it was alive before it was dead, it was the most apex predator this world has ever seen.
Oh,
you got this massive bear on coke. Right. So this movie is loosely based on that. A bear,
like, what if the bear was able to just rock?
Yeah, so the bear finds cocaine, eats it, and then just starts going ham on everybody. So it's really campy, but I want to see it. You know, I know it's gonna be, you know, some goofy shit, but I want to see it. I wanted to mention Shanquilla Robinson. This awful,
the girl in Hawaii,
the girl in Mexico.
Mexico,
yeah. This awful story. So, young girl, Shanquilla, was from Charlotte, North Carolina. Her and her, she had a couple of businesses. She was doing really well for herself. Her and some air quotes friends decided to go to Cabo to vacation. And according to everybody, Shanquilla was a really nice girl. She was not a fighter. She was not tough. She was kind of small in stature. I guess like 5'2", 5'3". So she wasn't, you know, on that. And her friends apparently were very jealous of her doing really well for herself. She was kind of unaware of the jealousy, the haters that she had around her. So they all go on this trip. And one girl in particular, but I think a couple of girls, but one girl in particular, just starts fighting her. And this guy was supposed to be her best friend, films the fight.
This is awful.
And the girl who was fighting her is a bigger girl, and she's beating the shit out of Shanquilla. And Shanquilla is not a fighter, so she's just beating on this girl. And the guy filming it even says while he's filming it, Shanquilla, fight back. Right? It's like, nigga, why don't you go help her and break this shit up? What the fuck is wrong with you?
Right.
So
Naked.
Yeah, she's naked because she had, because they showed her walking into that room. There's a clip of her walking in. They were supposed to be going swimming. But she was like, all right, y'all, let's get ready to go. So she was naked. She was changing her clothes to a bathing suit. It's awful. They kill the girl. They call her mother and tell her mother she died of alcohol poisoning. They have to leave the body here so the Mexican authorities can deal with it and all this fucking bullshit. They leave her.
Which, first of all, is stupid, because do you really think nobody's going to be able to determine the actual cause of death?
That's what I said. I said, we just think I was going to go to work on Monday and that was going to be it.
Do you think Mexico is a third world country?
Exactly.
Like, it's roughly the size of the United States.
Yeah. They got educated people there who know what the fuck they're doing. Yeah. So, they leave her leave the body there. They come back to the States. They go, you know, they go, one, the boy who filmed this shit, he went by the mom crib like 3 or 4 times. Let me help, see if I can help.
Lord,
faking the whole thing. And they, of course, sent that, you know, niggas, they sent the video out to their friends. Like, yo, look at this.
Which is also stupid as fuck.
It is. The whole shit is
stupid. In the first place.
Yeah, exactly. So the Mexican authorities, when they did autopsy, realized Shanquilla's neck and spine were broken, and that's how she died. Jesus, she actually had no alcohol in her body.
Mm-hmm.
So the film gets out, and somebody who's still anonymous decided they didn't like this shit, and they sent the film. They posted the film on social media, and it started picking up traction via social media, via the blogs and whatnot. Of course, mm-hmm. authorities got word of it. The authorities here, the FBI has gotten involved. They've reached out and talked to the Mexican version of the FBI, who's now been doing this investigation. And yesterday, they sent out an arrest warrant and are about to extradite the girl in the video who was beating on her back to Mexico.
They arrested her.
They arrested her. Yes. Yeah. And she's about to go back to Mexico, where she'll stand trial, and I'm sure dime everybody else out.
A Mexican prison, shorty. Good luck.
For murder. Mexican prison. I mean, she ain't going to be there 6 months.
Good for her. She's going to be there.
And she deserves it.
And the depravity required to go to somebody's mama's house after you witness their death.
And filmed it. And apparently sent it to somebody. You have to be a psychopath.
If you could sit in my mama's face and act like you don't know what happened, I'm just
wild.
It boggles the mind. It's not something I understand. It's not something I want to understand.
Go out of your way to sit in my mama's face. Not just sit in my mama's face, like make it a point to go sit in my mama's face.
Yeah.
To continue the vacation for another couple days.
Yep. While her body, while she's dead.
And then steal money from her to like upgrade your
seat. Oh my God.
Like, horrible.
Everybody should. Evil. Go to Mexican prison, forget about you. Like,
It's such an awful story. And again, by all accounts, Shanquilla was a really nice girl. Just a really nice girl.
I will say, this is why Black Twitter is so important. Because if not for gaining traction among people like us, continuing to keep the story in the lexicon, questioning these things, even that person who posted it to whatever, knowing that it was get traction from people like us is why that shit is so important.
Right. Yeah, because they would have got away with it otherwise.
For sure.
They would have got away with it otherwise.
Yeah. The Mexican authorities probably would have had some questions, but it might not have gone into like cooperating with U.S. authorities and extraditing homegirl back.
Yeah. Exactly. It wouldn't have got to this level. And they're going to really be fucked off because Mexico's biggest economic, push is tourism.
Right.
So they cannot afford to have somebody come down and get killed and not have any justice for it. So they're gonna do everything they can possibly do to put these people in prison for a long time to let you know if you come here, God forbid something happens, justice will be served.
Right.
Yeah.
So
and Cabo is one of them areas that rich white people love.
Yes. Yeah. Cabo's nice.
Yeah.
Yeah. So
they don't
want
to fuck that up for sure.
This is also like, I really want young people, and this ain't even just a Black thing, just young people in general, women especially, to be more, and this is, I'm not saying it's her fault, but there is this thing of frenemies traveling together when they don't even really like each other that much, know each other that well. It's just, can we get enough people for the trip?
Mm-hmm.
And traveling with somebody, you really, I have close friends that I don't want to travel with. Not because I think they'll be on some fuck shit, but just because we travel differently.
Mm-hmm.
Right? And people have different ways that they travel. They have different ways they want to spend. They have different ways they want, places they want to stay. They have different levels of activity they want to do. Mm-hmm. Different levels of involvement of planning. You really have to be very careful. Because it is like the number of people that you hear, young people that come back from a trip, like, I don't fuck with that hoe because when you was at da da da, the blah blah blah, and that, you know what I mean? Like, you really have to be careful.
Mm-hmm.
You wouldn't want that person in your home. If you wouldn't want to be in a home with a person for an extended amount of time,
you don't
want
to go away. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
Because especially when you go somewhere where you don't know the language, you don't live there. There are no assumed American rights and liberties. Like, people think you can go to these other countries and do whatever the fuck you want. No. That's not the case. You got to have somebody that has their head on straight at all times. You know what I mean? Like, not even, even if you're not driving, like just a designated driver-esque kind of person who can drive together. So none of y'all end up in a fucking foreign prison.
Exactly. Like, exactly. Or fucking traffic or some dumb shit. Yeah.
Yeah. It's awful. It's awful. A couple of things, quick things. Whitney Houston movie comes out soon. I think that next week, maybe? Week,
yes,
I need Pat Houston to leave us alone.
Yeah, I feel like that should have been a TV movie. I don't know if that's going to do
I mean, there's already been a TV movie, though.
Yeah, so. I don't know. I think this...
And, of course, Clive is an EP.
Yeah, of course. I feel like the story has been told ad nauseum at this point, and I don't know what kind of drug they're going to get. I could be wrong.
But here's the thing. I understand it because... Since Whitney was not a songwriter, her estate makes no money off her catalog.
True.
And Whitney was in debt in terms of her recording. She was not only unrecouped, she was way in the red.
I'm sure.
So I think they have to come up with ways to use her likeness, image, and story.
To make the bread back, yeah.
To make the bread, yeah. So it's not like with Michael Jackson's estate where they're making all kinds of money because he owned his publishing and all of it.
Yeah,
and all that other type of shit. Whitney didn't own any of her shit because she didn't write. And that's the other lesson. Like we said about Lionel, I tell people every day, being a songwriter is so much more lucrative.
Oh, Lionel, Babyface, don't worry about them niggas. Like, they good.
Write your shit.
They so good.
Shout out to that Babyface and Carisha interview.
So dope for Face that he would not be like, oh, who's that? I ain't doing that. He would be so gay. Face be with the shit.
Yeah, like,
and I love it. I love that.
I interviewed him for Versus. Shit. That nigga had jokes for fucking.
Yeah, I loved it that he was all in. I loved it.
He ain't know who she was, but his little young tender probably told him. Yeah, and yeah, you know he an old Midwest nigga that's rich. If there's never a nigga that's going to clown or joke or be good in their own skin, it's an old Midwest nigga.
Word. Wear some Cartiers or some shit. Yeah, so I enjoyed that immensely. I really enjoyed that. Sidebar, I've been starting to hear the Jackson 5 Christmas album around town.
Hey,
sound good.
It's in my mind season, baby.
Yeah.
Officially.
That's been nice to hear young Michael just singing like a damn angel. Jesus, man.
Kim K. Made them boys record that album and they didn't give no Christmas.
The Jehovah's Witness, they couldn't even have, the baby can't have no Christmas, but they were recording
that had no Christmas.
No Christmas. Joe had Christmas now. Now I don't know what Catherine needs. You know, Joe, I'm going to need some Christmas now over here. You talking about? Kim K. gets $200,000 a month in the divorce settlement. From him, her and Kanye, a lot of Negroes was up in arms, like, "Yo, it's too much money. How could she do that to him?" And
blah, blah. No, that is his half of them kids' expenses. Like everybody, exactly.
They have four kids under 10. My nigga, like even if you a normal motherfucking person, that's a lot of goddamn money.
A lot
of. And it's his fault that they got to pay for security anyway, because he the one keep blasting where they go to school and where they are all the time.
And it's not, listen, I think we, again, this is one of those times where people who make $50,000, $60,000 a year
need to shut the fuck up.
Wrap their head into the business of people's, like, you can't comprehend why a kid would need that because your kid doesn't need that.
Right. You have no idea what their overhead was.
And I can understand why your kid doesn't need that because your kid is asking for McDonald's money.
Yeah.
Right?
PS5 is a huge investment.
Those kids are probably eating fucking Nobu takeout for lunch, right? I'm just saying their lifestyle and this is a part of what comes in with child support stuff is that it is about quality of life. Mm-hmm. It is about there not being a drop off in said quality of life. Mm-hmm. And while sure, Nobu for lunch and owning a horse is not necessary for a child to live.
Right.
If you have purported yourself as a billionaire, if you have fudged and done whatever documentation, evaluations and all of the funny-duddy Bankman-Fried type shit you've been doing to make yourself a billionaire, then why would this be a problem?
Exactly.
Nigga, if you're making let's just say for the sake of argument, you're making $250 million a year from all of your businesses and all of your things that you got going on, right? You're basically paying $2.2 million a year, dude.
Right.
Like, is that really a lot of money? Listen, now clearly I'm talking shit here, and my theory is he gonna come back around.
Yeah.
He's gonna ask for a downgrade at some point.
Because
$200,000
You're gonna cry rich broke.
Yes, because $200,000 per month is absolutely impeding your fucking cash flow, dude.
Yeah.
If you don't have
Kanye is liquid at all.
That's my point. All of these billions and all of these value, all of that shit is pie in the sky money. You know what I'm saying? Nigga wasn't, he wasn't able to go and sell any of that sort of stuff. Now, maybe he can probably sell a portion of his Yeezy brand or whatever the case might be. My point here is that it is really, it's basically the equivalent to someone that's making $200,000 a year, spending like 20 grand
on child support,
right? Like, that's not a wild, you know what I mean? Like, the number isn't wild when you actually look at it
in whole numbers and percentage.
We had this conversation with Dr. Dre's divorce. I really need thousandaires to stay out of millionaires' business because you don't get it. Like, that is really just that simple. Like, if you have not spent significant time around millionaires, been in their homes, understand their regular day-to-day lives, understand the staff, the private schools, the trainers, the chefs.
But that's the other part of this shit, too. Like, you guys got to understand that, yes, I know you got to, the cleaning lady comes to your house once a week. I get that. Right, you got married maids. They come down and they bust down your counters for like $12, $13 an hour. Right, I understand that. However, when you are this kind of rich, your staff, your cleaning people, they are not $35,000 a year people. You know why? Because they have access to your fucking bedroom and your $90,000 AP.
Yeah,
right. Or your fucking so you pay them a very handsome salary because the goal is you're getting someone high end. You're not paying someone who is just kind of barely making it and barely scraping it. They fucking know where you live. They know, you know what I'm saying?
They're also on like a different kind of coal. Like, your cleaning people come in and do an hour and break out. These motherfuckers is doing whole house top to bottom.
They might live there.
You might have quarters.
Mm-hmm. Until you have gone to somebody's house and that person ain't been there for a month, but the house is fully stocked, fully staffed, fridge stocked, pantry stocked, every bathroom got clean towels, soaps. But I'm going to tell you, the first person I learned that shit from was Puff. Every house you go to a Puffy's, it's fresh orchids, fresh dip tea candles, lotions, everything stocked, fresh.
Like, he was just there.
Folded. Yeah, refrigerator guy, all the shit, all that. All
one
that.
Dip tea candle is $80. If I buy an $80 candle, it's coming with
whole
me
house.
Where I am.
Whole house is
not going to be in a house.
And you ain't burning that motherfucker every day, neither. Wait a second.
You open any closet.
I don't like that candle now. I don't like that one.
Exactly.
Like that one you got there from Target. That's not.
Yo, and
this is a real conversation I've had with my mama. Like, put that candle out. This one came from CJ Maxx. But that's out.
People don't really
and see
people
that
just
jar
don't
when
grasp.
You Hello?
People yeah, just yeah, don't yeah. grasp. They don't yeah. grasp that. And that's not a lot of money in the grand scheme of things. And you know what? Listen, even if he never makes a payment, okay, those kids are going to be fine. Okay, nobody's flying middle seat on Spirit.
Right.
No, you know.
Their mom frontier. Has a cashmere lined private jet, guys. Yeah.
But yeah, the point is, even though Kim can easily afford to take care of the kids without Kanye, they are his kids.
Yeah, she ain't having them alone.
People be like, she don't need it, nigga. Does he, and he needs it more than she does? Those are his children. Fuck out of here.
She could take that money and do whatever she'd like to do with it. With
that's
those
what
kids.
I think she's going to do. I think she's going to probably put in a trust or something and just let it
she,
stack.
She might, or she might just use it for their actual expenses.
True.
Might just use it for the actual, like, understand.
Listen, Chicago West's birthday is not at Chuck E. Cheese, guys. These that's are what not I'm regular ass kids so that can just be out
$200,000 parties, $300,000 parties. Like, right. You know what I'm saying? They ain't got, nigga, it ain't like they got an uncle like me, nigga, on the grill with some, with some ribs and some motherfucking
hamburgers. You want cheese on this burger, Saint?
Tristan definitely ain't throwing nothing on no damn grill.
You know? North, you want one of these brats, North?
That boy Chris dating Kanye East, he ain't putting nothing on no girls neither. That yeah,
Chris Jenner is not making that birthday cake. Like everybody settled down. Exactly. Come on.
Get in the kitchen and shit. Y'all wanna lick these things before I go on with this thing over?
It's arguing over the spoon. Over the mixer or the bowl.
Exactly.
Shit.
Your man Kanye, just real quick, because I don't want to talk about him, but he went on Alex Jones today, which is bonkers in and of itself. And he, I mean, if you thought, I didn't, but if you thought he had any chance of reviving some part of his career, it's over after today.
Yeah.
Because he literally was basically like, I'm a Nazi and I love Hitler, and there it is. So, like, nobody's getting in business with him. He's running around with two Nazis. You know,
the fact Nick that Alex Jones is still even doing anything is just fascinating.
Crazy.
To me that's even possible. But yeah,
and even Alex Jones a couple of times is like chill. Like his crazy ass is like, I don't know if I agree Jones with you on that.
It's telling you to chill.
Yes,
the man who said that the what's the name of the school?
The kids in Connecticut. Yeah,
yeah. I wouldn't be able to tell you if you hadn't asked. It'll come up. That's the oldest thing.
Sandy Hook conspiracy theorist in chief is telling you to calm the fuck down.
Yeah.
I think, like, Houston, we have a serious problem.
Yeah, it's about over.
But also, the thing about Kanye that people have to understand is, like, his bipolar may be turning it up a little bit, but none of this is actually out of character for Kanye. Like, this is all, like, everything with him is pretty fucking, and I think I've said this on the show before, it's pretty fucking linear. Like, you could draw a straight line to all Kanye's antics. There ain't no jumps and skips and hops. Like, it's pretty linear. And of course, Kanye admires Hitler. Kanye also admires Trump, and he admires Elon, and he admires Jobs, and he admires Disney. He is attracted to people who create cult of personality, for better or worse.
He literally said he is trying to get to the level of rich white men.
Yeah.
But we knew that. Literally.
In the quiet part out loud at every turn. Mm-hmm.
Literally, we knew that.
Yeah, so don't look. Yeah, whatever.
And I also said, when he got banned from Twitter and everything, and I was like, this is either going to be his bottom, because he's going to start losing shit. And when he started losing his deals and stuff, I said, either it's going to be bottom or it's going to push him further towards the right. And it's pushing him further towards the right.
He's about as far as he can go at this point.
I think apparently even Trump said Kanye was wilding.
Yeah. Even Trump was like, yeah, we had dinner and that nigga was bugging. I ain't fucking with him. wanted to mention... the new scandal, Ink, I know you all into this. TJ Holmes and
and that white
what's
lady.
What's her name? Amy what?
Somebody.
Roebuck.
Amy Roebuck. See, I'm not a GMA watcher, really.
Especially not the third hour. They're GMA 3.
Yeah.
Isn't that Michael Strahan's hour?
I think it's Mike off the show.
He's been off the show.
Oh, he's
left the show, right? Yeah, he left the show.
I think... But,
I think that was Michael and Kiki's Kiki's hour. It was.
They've mixed up that that lineup a few times. Because there's also like CBS This Morning.
Yeah, with Gail.
Yeah, I don't know. I know that they're the third hour of GMA and they were on.
Nobody really watches that hour.
Yeah, so TJ Holmes, African American newscaster, Ridley from Arkansas, married to a black woman,
who's a lawyer.
Yeah, who's a lawyer. His wife with the FAMU?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, I didn't know that. Okay. Yep. Amy Robe. Yeah, very cute. Very, very pretty woman. And Amy.
Very Robach. Jack and Jill looking.
Yes. Amy Robach is a white broadcaster. I don't know nothing about her background, but I know she's married to the dude, one of the dudes from.
Andrew Hsu.
Yeah, from which Fox show was
Melrose.
That? Melrose Place.
Oh, yes. Shit, that's her husband?
Elizabeth yeah.
brother, yeah.
Well, I'm going to say was.
Right. Well, listen, this is the tea. So we've all seen the video clip of the two of them leaving the cabin from their romantic vacation.
Which is crazy,
right?
Which is crazy.
That video footage is from a private investigator.
Yeah, that one of them hired. Who hired it? The wife? Who hired it? Andrew or the wife?
TJ Holmes' wife.
Yep, that's
what I thought. Wow. Well, like Russ said, I don't know if Russ still here, but he said that PI made the easiest money ever because they weren't even trying to hide.
At all.
No.
But they I got to ask a question. So we confirmed that it was his wife?
I mean... Mm. I don't think anything is confirmed.
The only reason I say that.
Let's say allegedly.
I got the sense that it was the husband who put the PI for the wife. Because
okay. Why is that?
I think TJ may have been open about the break in whatever his marriage is because the comfortability in which he was moving my guy, like,
bro,
TJ also seems to have had a habit of just not being shit as a husband.
Yeah. And so I think,
based on the anniversary post he did a couple of years ago, which he says he gave her every reason to walk out the door. He says, not hyperbole. I'm not being dramatic. I gave her every reason to walk out the door. But with her built-in black woman strength, which, by the way, fuck you for that, TJ.
Fuck you.
She's saying and gave me grace, which that's why I hate people talking about strong black women because that's the type of shit y'all need.
The way he was moving was reckless by reckless nigga standards.
Yeah, even a reckless nigga be like, nigga.
even the cheetahs was like, my guy, like, what are you doing?
You're
like,
not even trying. Like, that brings me to another topic.
What is up with the reckless workplace cheating in 2022? Like, did the pandemic just make everybody forget? There's rules to this shit. Like, what the fuck is going on?
I think I don't know.
Everybody is completely out of pocket.
It's just wild with them because, like you said, it's the workplace cheating with two people who are like as high profile as you can get. They were on like a top-rated morning show 5 days a week, 52 weeks out of the year. Like, they're so well known by the air quotes, like the middle America people. It's not the hot shit. It's the people in Iowa and Kansas and, you know, Kentucky.
And Colorado. And
Colorado, yes. Right. You know them by the regular folks, you know. And for them to just jump out the window like this and, like I said, with some of these, with the pictures that have popped up online and the videos, like they wasn't even trying to be slick.
Like, they was out here
filling up on the yams.
Such that they are. They laughing also, in the rest. Laughing in the restaurant.
Also, as a man, like, fam, your spidey senses wasn't even tingling with a car parked that close to you. Like, I just couldn't really. Like,
I mean, how long lens can you get in the fucking casting?
I see a car. The way he caught them pulling out of the driveway. Like, if I see a car like you've been to my street, y'all know I'll pull out.
Yeah.
Who, yo, you lost? You looking for somebody?
Yeah.
What do you mean?
Crazy, because like they.
But I thought, Sean, you would keep your head on a swivel, nigga. TJ Holmes probably never been in a scrap in his motherfucking life. That's a level of privileged comfort.
he's probably also used to being photographed on the sneak because of who he is and like stared at from far away. So he might not have thought anything.
He might not have realized it was a PS. But I mean, even when they leave in the cabin, like, they so chill, like, you know, grabbing ass and packing their bags and
holding hands.
What are y'all doing?
It was a level of intimacy that was just
beyond.
Yeah. That was a relationship. That was not a little thing. That was not. That's been a lot of inside jokes.
Yeah, they got. Oh, speaking of inside jokes, there's one picture of them, and this people might think this is the most harmless one, but they're like really close at a bar.
Yeah, that's what I'm talking about.
Talking to her in her ear, and she is doubled over laughing. And I was like, I would have stabbed that nigga over this picture.
Nigga, if you got a wife, you ain't never seen me that in that type of space with another woman. Like, that was way too intimate. So, what do you think happens moving forward? Do they put them back? Well, TJ was on today by himself.
Like, I heard they were. Somebody said something about this is the equivalent of tweeting through it, but on live TV. So I guess they didn't address it.
They did.
What happens? You think they'll be back on the show together?
I don't know what they did. They might have to put out a joint statement or something, but as long as GMA doesn't have any clauses about fraternizing, from a job standpoint, they should be in the clear unless, you know, the spouses make it hot.
Yeah, I'm wondering how
it's hot. I don't know.
Unless they speak out about it. But I'm just like, you know how whack it is to like blow your family shit up in between Thanksgiving and Christmas? Like,
it's like, this reminds me a lot of your boy. That nigga too, but the other nigga.
Which other nigga?
The football nigga.
Strahan?
No. The nigga Strahan took spot he took.
The
running back. What's his name, bro?
I think of his name? Tiki Barber.
Reckless, like, damn, my nigga, like, so you're not black. Even trying. Like, you're not even trying to be smooth with it. Like,
destroyed his whole career.
But also, the intern thing was what really took him over the top. So it was the perception of the power dynamic.
Yeah. And these
two are more peers.
And his wife was pregnant.
So it was like the bosses. But I think what happened was like the wife was maybe like kind of, you know, using a shoulder to cry on to some of the other executive wives.
Of course.
And they was like, bro, like, you just made it hot at my crib. Like, your situation should not be at my dinner table.
Right.
I came home from taking out the trash.
And this motherfucker like, did you know about TJ?
My wife's staring at me. And I'm like, I'm trying to get some apple juice and go to sit down. You know what I'm saying? So, yeah, man, it's just wild, man. So. We'll see how this plays out. I just want to mention one more thing. I find it very interesting. And I don't know if y'all been watching. I just started watching because of this, but on Real Housewives of Potomac. Well, first of all, Love and Marriage DC has a big change because Monique and her husband are not back for season 2. I thought that was kind of interesting. They bailed out.
Did they bail out?
Well, did they bail out or they get pushed out?
Monique
Samuels. We used to be on.
They split.
No, they didn't though. But I think they were having problems. But they claim they didn't split. But they didn't. They're not on the show this season. They put the couple that won Ready to Love. You remember them, Inca? Oh, what up, bruh?
Hey, Trav.
What up, Trav?
Hey, bring a player back some duty free cigars, man. I hit you back.
Yeah, man. Inca, you remember the couple that won Ready to Love? The big dude. What's his name?
I don't know.
You didn't watch Ready to Love?
No, the DC season? Yeah, no.
I thought you did. Well, one of the couple that won, they're going to replace Veronica's end thing. But on Real Housewives of Potomac this season, there's been a huge colorism. Off camera colorism. There's always been an undertone of colorism on that show.
Very much so.
And I don't think it's been. Let me just say this.
Maybe not undercover is not even the right
term.
I
don't think it's been undercover or undertone or any of that. I think Monique made it very clear.
Yeah.
What the situation was, she expressed it.
Yeah.
And because her reaction and her behavior was so extreme, it has just gotten swept under the rug. Agreed. And they were able to sort of just kind of breeze by what they've talked about there.
Agreed. But so now... Yeah.
From the second Monique got on the show, like the very first luncheon, they were grilling her in a way that was...
Yeah.
Not even the, veiled colorism. It was
From the first thing, like you said, they went to Monique's house. Giselle came late as fuck and then started like grilling and talking shit about Monique in Monique's house. It was like So anyway, so now there's a woman on there, Wendy Asafo.
She's like South African or something, right?
She's Nigerian.
And she's a doctor. She was a teacher, Professor Johns Hopkins. She's been a news correspondent on Fox TV. She's thorough. And,
MSNBC.
MSNBC, she's thorough.
The other DC station, I can't remember.
Yeah, but she's got a husband and a couple kids, and they're doing their thing. And immediately, Robin and Giselle have just been on her neck from the time she started the show. Based on colorism, and so this thing is
Robin Dixon is fucking miserable, and I'm over her, and I want her off the show.
Giselle and Robin be following up behind her. Giselle is a very specific type of light skinned girl from the 80s.
Mm-hmm.
Like she's like I think I said mm-hmm. that she's she's a gamma ray.
She's like, I was gonna say central casting.
She's
central
a gamma ray
fucking casting.
Like. She and I mean everything about her, the way she acts, the way she mm-hmm. is, like is very specific.
She's AKA, no disrespect to AKAs,
I feel like she's the stereotype of the AKA that they're trying to break.
Yes. Yeah. Yes. Yeah. That's a perfect description.
And Robin, who is my soror, just be following up behind that bullshit. But whatever.
Yeah, just be chasing her. So
and what's killing me is like Giselle and Wendy are sorors.
That's what
Wendy's AKA. I didn't know that.
Wendy's AKA.
Oh, I didn't know that.
Imagine treating your sister like that.
Crazy. So this thing has really exploded off, I don't know if off camera is the right term, but like in the blogs and whatnot. It's one of the biggest, Robin trended on Twitter for like, and Giselle for like 4 days straight after the 2 weeks ago. They were just killing them nonstop.
The treatment was so egregious. Like, of course, Mia deactivated her, socials and all that, whatever. She came back to fake apologize, but she was dead ass wrong in the situation.
Yeah.
There was no excuse. Like, it wasn't even warranted. It's different if somebody actually says something about your husband or says something really inflammatory to you, is all in your face. But Wendy was just, I mean, low key speaking facts. Like, that's not how me and my husband roll. I don't know what you and Gordon do. And Mia kind of jumped out the window, which was very.
You can't talk about my husband. So this thing is messy.
The only show that I enjoy at this point is Married to Medicine. It's the only show that I enjoy because it's the only show that really, in my opinion, gives a full spectrum of relationships, and they'll have their pockets of mess and things of that nature. And you know, but you know, they will normally do mature couple things at some point.
I also think Married to Medicine respects marriage in a way that other franchises do not.
Yeah.
Well, I think that they respect their marriages internally. I think that those casts, listen, the camera only picks up what you give it.
Yeah.
Exactly.
If you want to tell me what the editors do and they edited this out to make me look this way, they literally can't put footage in. They can't make up footage.
Nope.
Right? Like, can they cut some things and maybe it looks like sure, but like, let's not make it seem like they made all of this up. Like, that's just actually not correct.
Yeah. Yeah.
I think there's a level of maturity that Mia is missing in the whole thing.
Mm-hmm.
And it's really coming to light in her second season on the show.
Yeah.
And then also Karen, who's my favorite this season, is kind of being that model of maturity. Like, I'm going to call you out when you're wrong. I'm not going to pick sides.
Yep.
But I'm on Dr. Wendy's side this time because, like, you hit her with a purse.
Yeah.
Like, what do you mean?
And Wendy's, and Mia's like, you picked her side, and Karen's like, "What the? Why wouldn't I?" you
can't be friends with her because you're friends with me, and it's like you 50.
That's childish. That's so childish.
You're like 50 years old, Mia.
So
speaking of I'm sorry, just before, because I'm going to lose thought. Okay. Speaking of, to segue for a quick second, speaking of Black Greek organizations and sororities, I want to give a shout out to Fantasia, who just became an honorary member of Sigma Gamma Rho, joining Nikki Gilbert and all of her Brownstone members this year, and Marsha Ambrosia, who were inducted earlier this year as honorary members.
Oh, Marsha too? I didn't know Marsha was in too.
Yeah. Okay. And they already have Kelly Price and MC Light. So the next time Sigma Gamma Rho has a boule or the national convention, that concert is going to be lit. And my Delta ass is going to be trying to sneak up in there.
They've been having a pretty big year.
I ain't never seen this many Sigma Gamma Rhos on social media in my life. Yeah.
My sister-in-law is SG Rho. So shout out to you, Ashley.
They going through a massive rebrand, and I ain't mad at it. Shout out to Sigma Rhos. Yeah.
And speaking of which, I don't know if I really gave an official shout out to Justin for crossing over and becoming Congrats to you, man. I'm really proud of you. Very, very happy for you.
They pushed for a long time, too, boy.
Country Cousin hit me. She was like, wait a minute. I think I know this kid. I think Jason's Chapter.
Her
husband's Chapter, one he's a part of. So, yeah, man, it was really cool. And he actually got to, I knew a couple of the guys that were alphas already. So they hit me. He was like, oh yeah, I saw your friend, you know, Mr. Bird. And da, 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 da. It was really cool. I'm very, very happy for him. He was locked in and focused on it, and it all went well.
Good. Yeah. We're happy for him and proud of him too. Last thing, piece of Deion Sanders, who went 11-0 this year at Jackson State, brought that team to national prominence, to the point like where they're on like ESPN, you know, playing the games, and the ESPN college, the game day went to the campus and filmed that when they had the Southern games. They've just become a national powerhouse story.
And honestly, Deion was the perfect person to be put in a coaching position. Like, I know a lot of folks felt the way that Deion got the coaching gig, but in this era where a lot of Black schools are leaving MEAC, and also when there is a large push for our talent to go to HBCUs instead of automatically going to, you know, the big PWI schools and the SEC or the Big Ten or whatever have you, Deion is like the perfect person to have as a front runner for this movement. Like, perfect.
Yeah. Perfect. So as of now, I know the big schools are going at him. I know Colorado went at him. I don't think he's taking that job, but, he's definitely...
I feel like he needs to stay at Jackson State a little bit longer. They need him.
It's not my call, but I'd love to see him stay at least one more season.
Yeah, just to solidify what he's done. Yeah. He's going to really go. He's going to leave. Program feel solid, because I feel like if he leaves right now, people feel like he's the program. He has to convince people that the program is that good. It's not just
exactly
him.
Exactly. Yeah. So he's. I hope he stays one more season and leaves. Next year, but we'll see. I mean, it's a big one. I thought he was going to get the Auburn offer. I really thought he was going to get the Auburn offer, and I wouldn't have been mad at that, but they went another direction. So I hope he stays one more season. But I just want to give him a quick shout out. And that's it. We gone. We done. Ain't no more. We'll see y'all next week. Happy holidays.
We going to talk about TV.
If the Good Bowl and the Creek don't work, I have so much TV to catch up on. I have so much TV to talk about. It's like,
I watched so much TV in the last couple of weeks. It's a little embarrassing.
Southside's coming back on next week.
Oh, I'm excited about that. I'm very excited about that.
I've been watching it again this week.
It's such a good show.
I'll be laughing so hard.
Did y'all check out Wednesday?
I haven't. I heard it's dope.
Wednesday is dope. It's super dope.
So good.
It's so good.
I watched it in a day.
And me too. Really? I watched it while I was I was prepping for Thanksgiving. Such so good. I would have never thought I needed a show about Wednesday Addams. It's really, really good.
All right. I watch it so we can talk about it next week then.
Yeah.
All right, y'all.
I be watching all the little teen
the YA shit.
I be watching all the little YA shit.
You watching that sex?
Be good.
Sex in college
be good as fuck.
Yeah,
you watching the Sex in College?
Yes,
show?
I watch.
Yes,
Sex.
I am. And Mindy Kaling is problematic, but I, something about her, I love her.
That show is funny. I be watching all the mole joints, the little YA joints, be all
hell
of
yeah.
them. They be good as hell.
All right, we're gonna catch you. We'll see y'all next week. Y'all be safe out there. Be safe in them malls. You know,
happy holidays.
Happy yo, Christmas is really here. Jesus Christ. All right, y'all.
All right.
Later. Bye.
And that's what's popping in the world of entertainment. Thank you for listening to the Pop Life Podcast with Jeffrey, Naima, and Sean. Want to be a part of the show? We've got three ways you can get involved. Like us on Facebook. Send us your burning questions to poplifepodcast@gmail.com. And follow us on Twitter @poplifepodcast.